Good evening and welcome along to The Score, our Thursday evening sports show here in Highland, where we take a look at the big sporting stories from around the Northwest. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher, and I will be with you from now until 8 o'clock. So, coming up on tonight's show, the National Football League is back this weekend. We'll be hearing from Sean Casey from the Sideline Eye to get his perspective on the Division 1 game between Donegal and Armagh at the Athletics Grounds this coming Sunday. In soccer, we'll be hearing from the Finn Harps camp as the club hosted a press night on Monday as the new league is into full swing. We'll also hear from Finn Harps women's team manager Desi McGlinchey, whose team will make history this weekend. And sticking with the Finn Harps theme, we'll begin with our weekly League of Ireland preview. Finn Harps welcome UCD to Finn Park for their first home game of the new SSC Electricity League First Division season tomorrow night. It was a frustrating start to the season last week for Harps, who were beaten 2-1 by Athlone Town in the Midlands after going ahead early through new signing and debutant Temi Ajibola, who was later forced off due to injury. In the Premier Division, Derry City have their third home game in as many weeks. They host Bohemians. There's already been late drama twice at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. On the opening night, an injury time effort from Josh Thomas completed a turnaround against Sligo Rovers, while last week's 98th minute Michael Duffy penalty rescued a draw against newly promoted Dundalk. Bows are the visitors this Friday, and they are also sitting on 4 points after two games played, having drawn with St Patrick's Athletic and beaten Sligo Rovers 4-0 last week. So joining us on the show to talk all things League of Ireland is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman. Anthony, welcome back to The Score for the first time this year. It's good to have you on again.
Thanks very much, Mark. Yeah, it's good to be back for another new season, and that's a season that we have plenty of optimism for, and we're looking forward to it.
For sure. Home games for both Derry City and Finn Harps this week. We'll start with Harps. It's the first home game of the season against UCD. There's always a wee bit of excitement around the first home game, Anthony.
Yeah, the first game, you know, it's an opportunity for the new players to show the home fans for the first time what they're all about. And, you know, the first game's always, it's a good opener, and you always get a good crowd there. And, you know, and I think what makes it all the more important for Finn Harps this time is on the back of an opening weekend defeat away to Athlone. And so it's a game that I'm sure the players will be looking forward to after the disappointment of last week. And it's probably one that can't come around quick enough for them.
Yeah, we'll get on to the challenge that UCD might bring in a minute, but just to come back to last week, it all seemed to start so well when Temi Ajibola put Harps ahead earlier on, but the game seemed to turn, and ultimately, as you say, it was a disappointing enough start not to come away with anything from the Midlands.
It was, yeah, you know, and I suppose it's a game that maybe Kieran McHugh and his staff would have been looking at to be coming away with something, you know, given the fact that Athlone were so disappointing last season. And to be fair, like they've strengthened well this year. And I know Kevin's touching on it during the week that all the teams this year they've all strengthened, they're all better. And, you know, it makes for a really competitive league. But, you know, going by all accounts, you know, after having gotten off to a dream start last week with a goal after 4 or 5 minutes, you know, they failed to capitalise on their advantage and allowed Athlone back into the game too quickly. And I think, you know, by all accounts, it was a game that, you know, Harps struggled to get a grip of. They seemed to get dominated in the middle of the park. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it was probably a deserved victory for Athlone.
With the half a dozen new players coming in, you've still got the experienced players that have been there, bought the T-shirt and a Harps jersey, and then the youngsters that did so well last year. It's going to be an interesting dynamic this year. I suppose strength and depth can only be a good thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen last year when we got to the summer and the transfer window opened up and the players that they signed, and Finn Harps got a real bounce effect from the new players coming in. And it's like any team, like new players coming in are desperate to impress, and then the players and the experienced players and the younger boys in the squad, they want to impress the new players. So it works out really well, but you know, you just expect that, you know, that you'd be hoping that the new players coming in will have a big impact, because, you know, when you have the young lads coming through, who, by the way, are doing fantastically well, and, you know, it's great to see them getting opportunities, but you just hope that the likes of Conor Turris and Tony McNamee can help the new players settle and you know, make them feel very welcome and make it positive for Finharps for the season.
With the First Division being as competitive as it is, how important is it to make home advantage count and make Finn Park somewhere that teams don't fancy coming to at all?
It's really important, you know, that, you know, I know Kevin wants to play an open, expansive brand of football, but at the end of the day, you know, football is all about results, and it's very much a results business. And it's very important, you know, while you want to play good football, it's very important that you stay in games. You know, like, I remember playing myself, and the first thought in your head was, before you even think about playing football, you know, there's battles to be won. You have to go out and compete. You have to let your opponent know that they're in a game. And, you know, that's the most important thing. And once you get a foothold in the game, then you show a bit of dominance, then you can go and play your football. But the most important thing, and it's like any walk of life, it's like any game of football, is that you must stay in the game for as long as you can. And when you're playing, you know, there's many ways to defend and attack, but the most important thing is that you do it all as a collective, as a team. The team effort is, you know, is what makes for good football, and which, you know, it's really important for the results. So it's important that, you know, that the team stay together, that they compete, and they get a grip of the game, and then go and express themselves and show exactly what they're capable of.
This Friday, it's UCD. Historically, Harps have a fairly poor league record against UCD, both home and away. You have to go back a good while to see a league win for Harps. In a show man, William O'Connor, he always brings a well-organised, hard-to-beat team with him, so it'll not be easy on Friday either.
It won't be easy at all, you know, and traditionally UCD will always be at the top end of the First Division. And I suppose by their own standards last year, you know, while they finished the season well, they were a wee bit inconsistent throughout the season. So UCD will be looking to add more consistency to their season coming forward. And I think, you know, it's a game that Flynn Harps will certainly think that they can get something from. But, you know, with Willie O'Connor at the helm, again, he's one of them ones, like, he's, you know, he worked with Ollie in the past, and, you know, he's very much, you know, it'd be very well organised. The teams will be very well drilled, and they will be competitive, and they'll be very fit. So make no bones about it, Friday night's going to be a really difficult game and a really big test for Finn Harps.
And just finally, in Harps, first home game of the season under the lights at Finn Park, it's really important that a good home crowd gets out to support the lads, because it can make a big difference in tight games.
It can, yeah. And to be fair, like, the Finn Harps supporters have been really good over the last number of years when things haven't been going so well. Like, they've still continued to turn out in their numbers. And, you know, the big crowd and the bit of backing and vocal backing, you know, can drive the players on. And at times, you know, we hear it saying, it's an old cliche about supporters being a 12th man, but very much so. You know, when you're at Finn Park and the supporters are right behind you, it can very much feel like you've got that 12th man behind you.
Elsewhere on Friday night, it is Kerry up against Athlone. Treaty United are at home to Bray Wanderers, and Cork go to Wexford. Anthony, Cork, I suppose, are understandably favourites to go back up as champions, but if you were to pick a couple of other teams that might push them, who would you be looking at?
Well, you'd have to say that UCD, obviously, you know, with their previous history in the First Division and them always been up around the top. Obviously, Cork will be the favourites, and, you know, rightly so. Like, I'm sure their budget and is much bigger than what the other teams would be like in that division. Cove, who had such a really good season last year as well, will be expected to be up there. And Treaty, like a city team from Limerick, you know, you'd always expect the city teams to be competitive. So, you know, obviously, so I think Cork, Cove, Treaty will be thereabouts come the end of the season.
Yeah, we'll have live updates from Finn Park on Friday night. Jeremy Doherty will be there from the 7:45 kickoff here in Highland. On to the Premier Division. Derry City play their third home game of the season against Bowes on Friday. On paper, I suppose Derry have had a good start to the season, but they've rode their luck at times. What have you made of their opening couple of games, Anthony?
I think they've been a wee bit fortunate, to tell you the truth. You know, I just think that They're, you know, the fact there's been a massive turnover of players at Derry City, and just, you know, the 15 new signings coming in, and like an unbelievable number of players. And I think it's 22 players in total that left the Brandywell over the close season. So there's been a big turnaround in players. You know, the first night against Sligo, you know, they had to wait until the 82nd minute before they got an equaliser, and then they got the winner in the 91st minute. And Sligo feel very hard done by that night, because I think on the night they more than deserved a point. And while Derry scored very, very good goals, it's fair to say that, you know, they struggled at times to break down a well-organised and resolute Sligo defence. And then the game against Dundalk was a game, you know, where I thought their play was very slow. There's certainly issues there with creativity in the middle of the park. And I think with Winchester moving from the centre of the park to right back on Friday night was a bit of a strange one, because he was probably their player of the year last year from the middle of the park. And they left it really late. The 98th minute, they got a penalty, and there's no doubt it was a penalty. But, you know, if you're Dundalk, you'd be thinking, where did the referee get the 8 minutes from? But listen, it's one of them. It's probably a positive that, you know, in the opening two games that they've scored late goals, and like the first week to win them the game, and then the second week to get them a point from the game. So I'm sure Tiernan and Lynch will be quite positive, or quite pleased certainly with the start.
Yeah, and on the flip side, Bowes have had a very good start as well. A great one over Sligo last week. They'll be full of confidence heading to the Brandywell on Friday night.
Yeah, Bowes, like, you know, we watched them the first week against St. Pat's, and I think it's fair to say that the game at the Aviva was a game that both teams didn't want to lose, and, you know, it led to that sort of performance. But I think on the day, Bowes probably had the better chances against Pat's, and then a really convincing 4-0 victory over Sligo last weekend. So Bowes will be, you know, be a team under Alan Reynolds, and, you know, they'll be hoping to be pushing Shamrock Rovers. I know they were, they had some good results last year, particularly against Shamrock Rovers. But I think, you know, they're another team that, if they can add consistency to their season, you know, they could push the likes of Rovers and Shells and Derry all the way.
You mentioned Rovers. Hopefully we get to see them play this week. Yet to kick a ball due to the weather, but they're at home to St. Pat's this Friday, and it'll be very interesting to see how that goes after a couple of false starts for Rovers.
Yeah, you know, that'll be so frustrating for them, because, you know, pre-season it's all about getting minutes under your belt, and, you know, having your plans and preparations and your pre-season games all organised. So Rovers will have been, you know, they'll have had nothing organised in terms of friendly games for the last couple of weeks, because of the expectation that you're going to play the league games. So it's like anything, you need games. And, you know, even at our level, at Donegal League level, where, you know, if you have a game called off or you have a free week, you know, it can go against you, because you need to be playing regular. And, you know, so I'm sure Rovers would have much rather had games under their belt before they're going to play Pats. But it is what it is. And, you know, when the weather and the rain that they've had around Dublin, you know, I suppose there's not much they could do about it. But, you know, this is going to be a really difficult opening game for Shamrock Rovers.
Yes, it sure will. And in other Premier Division games, Galway are in the capital to play Shelburne. Sligo are south to take on Waterford. And there's a big Louth derby between neighbours Dundalk and Drogheda at Oriel Park. Anthony, can't let you go without getting a word on Letterkenny Rovers. Top of the Brian McCormack Sports Premier Division, and even though Bunnagee are still on the coattails very much so, you must be content with how things are shaping up heading into the final third of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we're very pleased how things are going. It's been a really difficult season, and I think, and I've said it before, I think that's a credit to the teams we're playing. You know, we played Donegal Town last weekend, and it was, you know, a goal that we were a goal down, and struggled to break them down, and struggled to get any sort of foothold in the game, and then we scored a really good goal, a well worked goal just before half time, which sort of settled us. And, you know, when you get that sort of goal, a wee break before half time, it sort of changes the dynamic of the team talk, and it gives everybody a lift. And, you know, so it has been difficult, but Every point any team gets in that league, you know, they've had to work really hard for it. We haven't had any easy games. We've had no, you know, while sometimes scoreline suggests that the game's been easy, believe you me, Mark, it's very competitive, and it's, you know, all we can do at this stage is just game by game and week by week, and, you know, we're very much one game at a time. We have been for the last number of seasons, because you can't take your eye off the ball in this division, because if you do, you will get punished.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman. Well, Finn Harps held a press conference on Monday in Jackson's Hotel ahead of that game against UCD. Chris Ashmore was at the event for Henry Leo Sport. We are going to hear from Finn Harps manager Kevin McHugh in a moment. But firstly, Chris spoke with Bernardo Montero, a 26-year-old winger who began his career in his native Portugal. He then made the move to the US, playing Division I football with Florida International University. The attacker earned all-conference first-team honours during his time with the Panthers. Here he is talking to Chris.
So Bernardo, a total change of scenery for you. Tell us a little bit about your background and how it is you've got to come to Balbafé.
It's a new experience. I've been, you know, playing football all my life. I did my academy process in Portugal. I played in the Netherlands for a couple of years with Almere City. Then I went to Cyprus for a short period of time. And then I started my career, let's say, back in Portugal, where I was playing in the third division there. After that, I moved to America, and I did my collegiate career there for 4 years, and then I got a chance to be with Lexington SC for a couple months, and now I'm here with Finn Harps. So a lot of change of sceneries, but I'm just excited to be here right now.
Now, no doubt it's going to take you a while to sort of adapt, but just your initial impressions of the League of Ireland, maybe quite a physical league?
Yeah, definitely. It was a challenge. Obviously, we never like to lose, but I think it was a learning experience as well to really see, because obviously our preseason, we didn't play against any first division team. So having now that first taste and seeing, okay, this is a very physical league, very intense, and you got to grind it out. You know, sometimes your technical abilities as a team might not show as much because you got to win those little battles inside of the field. So it was a good taste this Friday, and now we also already know what more to expect. I already know what more to expect, and the areas that I need to improve in my game to make sure that I bring a bigger impact this coming Friday.
And the training sessions, do you feel you're sort of already beginning to gel and getting to know the guys and building up a sort of camaraderie ship?
Yeah, definitely. Since I first got here in December, you know, as Kevin said, we have a very good group of guys, and they made us, you know, me, Daniel, all the other new guys, like, feel very welcome. And once you start playing, obviously, like, you start building a chemistry, you start learning more about your teammates, you know, how can I, you know, put them in better positions, how can they put me in better positions, start learning more about how my teammates play. And I feel like we are in a good place. I think there's more to develop, and it's going to come, but I know that we're in a good place right now as well.
And finally, the weather has been pretty dreadful since you arrived, but I can assure you it will improve at some stage.
No, but it's honestly, I thought the weather would be worse than what it actually is. I thought Ireland was colder, and the only thing that didn't surprise me as much was the rain. But obviously, I played in the Netherlands for 2 years. I think the weather is pretty similar. But I don't mind, you know, if it rains, if it makes sun, you know. Either way, as long as we're winning games, it's okay.
That is Portuguese winger Bernardo Montero speaking to Chris Ashmore. Well, for Harps manager Kevin McHugh, there's no doubt that he'll be hoping his team can push for a playoff place this season. He's been telling Chris about the new signings and how he thinks it'll be a very competitive league once again, but that he is looking forward to getting back to Finn Park tomorrow evening. McHugh also reflected on last Friday's opening day defeat against Athlone and that injury to goalscorer Temi Ajibola.
So, Kevin, the start of another season, first game at home to UCD, and important to get points on the board early on and to get the crowd behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we were speaking about earlier, we know it's not going to be easy. There's going to be no easy game in this league because everybody's recruited so well. From the bottom of the table last year to the top, everybody's recruited well. So there's very little weak links in any team, which is expected at this level. But as you say, we want to make our home form count. And again, last week there was a lot of stuff we didn't do well, but there was a lot of stuff we really, really did do well, and we'll be concentrating on those areas for this week. And we know it's not going to be easy. Willie O'Connor always has the UCD set up well, and they always play a really good brand of football. So yeah, it'll be a tough game.
Now you touched on at the press conference that, I suppose I could say, you wouldn't be surprised if this is maybe one of the most competitive first divisions ever, because you can't really discount anybody from maybe mounting a challenge for a playoff position.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I thought that 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then as the season's kicked off, kind of reinforced my thoughts. Like, I don't think Cork's going to run away with the league by no stretch. I think the likes of Wexford will have a say. We know Kerry's invested heavily. Cove obviously have money. And obviously, like Athlone there, we played on Friday night. Like, they had a huge turnover of players, and they've invested their squad really, really well. So there's going to be no easy game. I do think teams are a lot tighter together. There'll be a few teams that are full time. Like, if you look at the Premier Division in my time, there might have been 3 or 4 full time teams. Now it's a given. If you're not full time, you'll be split back out again after a season. But now that has filtered down under the First Division. Now we have Cork City full-time, Kerry are basically full-time, Cove, Athlone are trying to get there, and there's other teams in the mix. Wexford, they're like, so you can see it now, it's actually gone from being 3 or 4 in the Premier Division to all full-time, and now the First Division, you have to try and merge towards that full-time setup to try and keep up with everybody, because the standard is rising every year.
And with the turnover of players at every club, probably until the first series of games have been played, you know, it's hard to really assess things properly.
It is. Obviously, you've all kinds of dynamics, the pitches, the weather, the players settling in, the new clubs and all that crack. So as you say, it'll take the first round of games to see where people are at. But yeah, we've our own ambitions, we have our own set of targets for phase one, and yeah, disappointing Friday night not to get anything out of the game. I thought we were worthy of a point, but yeah, we push forward and learn from the areas we need to improve on, and yeah, let's have a crack at UCD on Friday night.
And you've brought in half a dozen or so new faces, and for a lot of people, the first time they're going to see some of them will be against UCD, and it'll be great if some of them can hit the ground running, and fans love to latch on to a new favourite.
Yeah, and to be fair, Timmy couldn't have done any more. He was struggling, as I was saying earlier, he was struggling a wee bit in the warm-up with his calf, and he got through it, and obviously he opened his goal-scoring account, which is not an easy thing to do in your first game, and he'd done that after 6 minutes. I thought he was going well, but he had to come off the pitch. I thought Daniel was very unfortunate to be sent off for the second yellow. I thought he had a real solid game. Bernardo as well, there's way more to come from Bernardo. Very, very technical player, and the fans will definitely love watching him as well. And then you have Tokum and Alex, and we have Nathan as well. So yeah, them boys all have certain characteristics that the fans will definitely love watching from a defensive point of view and an attacking point of view. So yeah, definitely looking forward to, I know the boys are looking forward to Friday night as well, getting out in front of their home fans, and yeah, hopefully we can get some points on board.
And just in relation to the whole academy side of things, was it 2014 when you started off there, and then at the end of last season there was talk of you sort of being purely on the first team and maybe bringing in somebody new on the head of the academy? Where are we at in relation to all of that?
Yeah, well, I'm still overseeing it. We tried, but at the moment, and there's nothing Nothing to do with our club or anything, or even the FIA. It's the way the money's been handed down by the government and Sport Ireland and stuff. So the interviews are only happening this week. So I would imagine it'll be at least another 2 to 3 weeks before we have somebody appointed as head of the academy. And then obviously I can fully focus on the first team, but at the moment I'm still overseeing it, which is fine. And there's a lot of good people around me to help as well. So my obviously full focus is on the first team, but I'm there to kind of as a sounding board and liaise with people to make sure everything's running smoothly as possible, you know.
And finally, a lot of very promising young guys broke through into the first team last year. And for some of them this year, you know, it's a chance to maybe establish themselves a little bit more and kick on.
Yeah, I've always said that because it was my own personal experience. When you, every year you'd done a pre-season, it was just like adding another brick to the layer. Like you just felt stronger, you felt more confident. You had so many more belts and minutes under your belt from the previous season. And I can see a huge difference in Josh. I can see a huge difference in Gavin, Corey, young Adam, even Shawnee Bradley. I can see a huge difference in those boys as well that are really starting to grow in confidence and go, you know what, I deserve to be here. And that makes a huge difference to their mentality to come into the game. So yeah, that all bodes well for us, because I think at one stage we had six under-20s, six players that could probably play in our under-20s this week, and actually three of them could play in under-17s this week. So that's all wild positive. But don't get me wrong, I'm not getting away from results or anything like that, but these are hugely positive things for the club, and the wee moments where, yeah, things are working in the background. But yeah, my job is to try and get some more points on the board, you know.
And is it too early for you to sort of have a first 11 in your mind, or are you going to be sort of juggling about a bit in the opening games?
Yeah, well, Friday night, this time last week, we had a certain thing in our head, but then when people get sick or pick up niggly injuries, and then obviously the likes of this football at this level can be relentless, and then Timmy gets injured in the warm-up. He lasts about, I think it was 20-25 minutes in the first half. He got his goal, but he had to come off. So all those kind of things kind of throw things up in the air for you, and your plans go out the window. But you have to, that's us, up to us as coaches and staff, they adjust to that. And it's the same this week. We don't really know what we have. You think you know what you have on the Monday and Tuesday, but then by the time it comes Thursday, things take a wee change. But that's why we have squad there, and that's why we have our academy here as well. So if somebody's not available, it's always an opportunity for somebody else.
There you go. That is Chris Ashmore speaking to Finn Harps manager Kevin McHugh. And as I said earlier, Jeremy Doherty will be at Finn Park tomorrow night and be providing us with live updates from Harps clash with UCD from kickoff at 7:45. In the Irish League Championship this weekend, Institute, who sit seventh, they are in action on Saturday against H&W Welders. H&W Welders currently occupy third spot, and top of the table, Limavady United are up against Loughgall, who currently sit fourth. Locally, in the Ulster Cup this weekend on Sunday, Donegal Town play Kildrum Tigers, and it is Letterkenny Rovers taking on Buncrana Hearts. Letterkenny Rovers last year's Donegal League champions, and Buncrana Hearts the Inishowen champions, so an interesting contest there. In the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division this weekend, it is second place Bunnygee United against third from bottom Kilmacren and Celtic. Bunnygee United have a game in hand on Letterkenny Rovers, so perhaps a chance to close that gap to just 2 points. And elsewhere in the division, Glenna United are away to Fanagh United. Among the standout ties in the Temple Domestic Appliance Division 1, top of the table Kerry Keel 71 are away to Convoy Arsenal. Kepa Rovers, who are second, they play Gidore United, and it is third v fifth in the Moss Road Derby. It is Milford United taking on Rathmullen Celtic. And a standout tie in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2, it is top of the table Raphoe Town up against second place Dromahol. Raphoe are currently on 29 points, Dromahol 25, so for Dromahol could make that division very interesting indeed. There's also action on Saturday in the Donegal Junior League in the Glencairn Saturday Division 1. It's first v second, Kildrum Tigers play Strand Rovers. And then it's actually 3rd v 4th as well. Drumbar play Letterkenny Rovers, and St Catherine's Reserves up against Erin Wanderers. That is 5th v 6th. So top v 2nd, 3rd v 4th, and 5th v 6th. In the Old Orchard Saturday Division 2, KG Rovers, who occupy top spot, they're away to Milton Mariners, and it is 2nd against 3rd. Fintown Harps welcome welcome Bunnaghy United. In the Finn Travel Saturday Division 3, top of the table Lagan Hearts away to Castlefin Celtic, and it's second v fourth as Capri Rovers host Drumkeen United. In Inishowen, Cockhill Celtic, who are top of the pile, 12 wins from 12 in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division, they are away to Alia this weekend, and second place Clonmany Shamrocks, who are still not too far away from the coattails of Cockhill in top spot, they host Illies Celtic. The Charlie O'Donnell Cup semi-finals are also on this weekend. It's Greencastle taking on Cockhill Utes, and Cairn Utes play at Glengad United. There's also games in the HML Plantyre Division 1 and the Inish Grass Division 2 Shield. Well, it's time for a short break here on the programme. When we come back, we'll be focusing on the Finn Harps women's team's big game this coming Sunday. Stay tuned. You're very welcome back to The Score. Finn Harps women will face Shelburne in the FAI Women's Under-23 National Development League opener against Shelburne this coming Sunday at Finn Park. It's a historic day for the Balbuffet Club, who will compete in the new league alongside other new clubs at this level and under-23 teams from bigger clubs such as Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne. The side will be joined captain by Rafoe's Cody Walsh and Aisling Call of Glenay, and will be managed by Desi McGlinchey. McGlinchey has been speaking to Chris Ashmore this week and says he can't wait to get started.
Everybody at the minute is really excited now to get the league up and running. Pre-season's been going really, really well. We've played a few tough friendlies through over the last few weeks. We played Derry City there last week, a great game, and we're away to Sligo at the weekend. And a great preparations for our league. And listen, pre-season can get a wee bit long and boring times, but the girls, they can see the light now, and the excitement's starting to build this week now. But getting the league up and running and getting on the pitch, and it's just getting things moving, you know.
Explain to us the league format. There's a number of teams who are in it for the first time, and then there's under 23 teams, is it, from some of the, shall we say, more established clubs?
Yeah, the way it works, Chris, is we have 12 Premiership teams in the minute that play in the Premier League. So those 12 Premiership teams will enter an under 23s into the Development League, which they're calling it. And then we have 10 teams who haven't got a Premiership team, so they're able to enter a team at senior level, so they can sign girls at any age and bring in that. So, and the way the format was, at the minute there's 22 teams, so they'll split it north and south, so there's 11 teams in each group, so there will be 5 senior teams in that group, in each group, and there'll be 6 under 23 teams, and it's a home and away format then. And then obviously once the top 4 will play in the league, and the next 4 will go into Shields and stuff like that there. But for the likes of ourselves now, we will be competing against 6 under 23 teams and another 4 senior teams, the same as ourselves.
And the furthest you'll have to travel is basically sort of a line Dublin to Galway, is it?
It is. We've 3 or 4 games in Gal, or down in Dublin. We have Galway, we have Athlone, we have Longford, Mayo, Sligo, Dundalk, and then Piemont and Bowes and Shells down in the Dublin. So, listen, the travels, as you know yourself up here, it's something you get very used to very, very quickly, because we're practically on the road every second week. And these girls that are in with us, they're going on their fourth season with us. Obviously, some of them have played with the Donegal Women's League before that, so they're well used to the travelling and the commitment for it as well, you know. So, listen, the travelling's not going to be an issue for us.
And a great geographical spread of players in this Harps team.
We have, yeah. Not only from our own county in Donegal, obviously we have them all from South Donegal, east, west, down to Inishowen. But we have players from Strabane, and we have players from Dungiven in the squad as well. So, like, and that's what Harps is about as well. Listen, we're not just opening it up to Donegal players. We want to open it up to much of the northwest as we can, and we want to give all girls, wherever they're at, the opportunity to come and play at this level of football, you know.
And your team, quite a lot of them would have played at under 17 and under 19 level.
Yeah, and that's for us as coaches, that's what it's about, you know. Like, we've worked with these girls over the last 3 years, development and at under 17 level, under 19 level, and listen, for us, that's the rewards now, and it shows you how good the coaches are, and here as well, when you see all these players now making the step on the senior level, and listen, they're all well capable of playing senior level. We still have a really, really strong under 17s here, and we will also be feeding 4, 5, 6 of those girls into our senior team as throughout the season as well, if not more. Probably week in and week out, there will be at least 2 or 3 of them involved with us as well, you know.
And the hope will be that not only this Sunday against Shelbourne, but throughout the season, that the Donegal public will get behind you.
Absolutely, and that's, listen, and it's just coming to show the support for the girls, you know what I mean? Because they put so much hard, the hard work these girls put in during the week of training sessions, and people forget that these are young girls where they're giving up their whole weekend. Okay, because we play every Sunday, so they give up everything to go and play football on a Sunday, and listen, and what makes it for them is having a great crowd there to roar them on and cheer for them, you know, and they deserve that for what they give back to football as well, you know.
Finn Harps women's team manager Desi McGlinchey and Chris Ashmore will also be at Finn Park at 2 o'clock on Sunday, providing us with updates from that game. So the very best of luck to the Finn Harps ladies team in that massive occasion at Finn Park on Sunday afternoon. Now, switching the focus to Gaelic games, Donegal and Armagh are set to renew their rivalry this Sunday at the Athletics Grounds in round 4 of the National Football League. It'll be live in Highland from the 3:45 throw-in with Oisin Kelly and Brendan Kilcoyne. Armagh will look to secure badly needed points at home, having lost 2 of their opening games, while Jim McGuinness's side head to the Orchard County top of the standings with a 100% record. The two counties will also clash this weekend in Division 3 of the National Hurling League. Well, Highland's Oisin Kelly has been looking ahead to the games with Sean Casey of the Sideline I podcast and the Gaelic Life.
Well, Sean, it's nice to speak to you. Welcome along to the airwaves of Highland. How are you doing?
Good morning, actually. Not too bad. How's the form?
The form's good. Hey, we're looking forward to this game at the weekend. And interesting, I was looking at your website, and there obviously is a preview piece there on the website from Kieran. And his opening line is, there are some fixtures where league tables, form lines and statistics simply don't carry the same weight. Armagh versus Donegal is one of them. We're expecting another titanic tussle on Sunday at the Athletic Grounds, Sean.
Yeah, it's just the way the rivalry has been in the last couple of years, Oisin. Like, I think I calculated we've played 10 times in maybe, whatever it is, 5 years or something. Like, it's crazy. They meet so often, and there's usually something riding on the game whenever they meet, and even this weekend, like, there's something riding on it in an Armagh perspective, given that, you know, they're in a relegation fight at the minute, just given the form and the league table at the minute, and Donegal, where Jim McGuinness doesn't want to give up his record over Kieran McGeaney. So there's always something about this fixture, and then the two Ulster finals, the row at the end of last year's. It's just all piping hot at the minute, Oisin. So from a fan perspective, it's good to look forward to, but from the players and the management, like, they have a job to do, and their head's going to be so focused on trying to get one over the other.
Yeah. Is this a must-win game for Armagh?
I was thinking about that, Oisin. Maybe the Dublin one is probably the must-win game, I would say, of the four Armagh have remaining. Simply put, you know, they've beat Monaghan, and hopefully if they beat Dublin, it'll keep those two teams below Armagh. But there's no getting away from it. If this isn't must win for them, it's damn near it, because there's a situation they've put themselves in. They should have beaten Galway, and could have beaten Roscommon. We could be talking about a game that, you know, was a top of the table clash really at the minute if things had gone Armagh's way. It puts a lot of pressure on them if they don't win on Sunday. And I know, like, Kieran McGeaney said last week that, you know, Division 2, going to Division 2 isn't the end of the world. They won the line from Division 2 last year, but this is a different team. This is a young group, and they want to be developing their skills at the highest level in Division 1. So it's damn near must win, Oisin, because of the ramifications of, if they don't win, they've only 2 points from 4 games. With 3 games remaining, they have to go to Dublin, they have to go to Mayo, and then welcome Kerry. to the Shadowgrounds in the last game. So there's nothing easy there in the last four. So yeah, it's near enough must win, I would say, at this stage.
I do know from a Donegal perspective, you have been impressed by the way Jim McGuinness's side have started this year, Sean. They obviously have 3 wins from three. They've been lining out teams as strong as possible over the last number of weeks. What do Armagh need to fear from this current 2026 Donegal side?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I was in Letterkenny on Sunday there and got to see Donegal up close. Brendan McCole was outstanding, I thought, in the full back line, picking up James Carr. Carr couldn't get away from him. Any ball that came in, if McCole wasn't out in front, he was getting a hand in. And just any time Carr got the ball, McCole just stripped him. So he's probably going to pick up Ashton O'Neill, I would imagine, this year. I'm not saying anything new, saying Brendan McCole's a brilliant man marker, but Ashton O'Neill's Armagh's top scorer at the minute. He's their biggest two-point threat. And if McCole shuts him down, it's a big loss to Armagh if Ashton O'Neill isn't posting that 6-7 point tally. And then you have the young players for Donegal coming in. I know in our Gaelic Lives podcast every Monday morning, like during the McKenna Cup, Mal McMullen was talking about Shane Malone felt every Monday morning. And then he didn't start last week, but Conor McCahill did, and he kicks 3 points, and I think he's still doing his leave insert. So, and then you have Finbar Roberty, who's playing like he has a 10-year experience at this level, and he's only whatever 19 or whatever he is. So I suppose that I would fear that Armagh mightn't get enough scores on Sunday, because although Armagh are creating loads of chances, but they're missing plenty as well. And it's just the young boys coming in. You have the boys I mentioned there. Then you have Oisin Gallen comes back in last week, flying fit. You have the Murphy element of it. And without, on my own podcast this week, trying to work out matchups, if Murphy comes in, Armagh have no Aidan Faulker, no Aaron McKay, no Conor Mackin, no Kieran Higgins, no Kieran Mackin, you know, big, strong, physical man that could maybe Murphy. There's nobody like that in Armagh team at the minute, just with injuries and boys quitting and stuff. So when he inevitably makes an appearance at some stage, like, I'd be worried about who's going to pick him up, because Gareth Murphy is playing full back for Armagh at the minute, and he is going to be an outstanding full back for Armagh in years to come. But like, he only made his debut last year. He's very young. He's inexperienced at this level. Can you throw him into the deep end to mark Michael Murphy? I don't know if they have another option. Like, so there's more, maybe more worries from an Armagh perspective than there is positives heading into this game. But as I say, they're creating loads of chances. They're just not taking as many as they should be. But Donegal, it looks like they've nearly stepped on even from last year. They're so, even the first half against Mayo, like, it wasn't an entertaining game from a neutral, but Donegal just controlled it, and they kept Mayo at arm's length. And even with, you know, against the breeze, there's no shot clock. Donegal will keep the ball forever until they work an opportunity. And they're running, they're hard running, their backdoor cuts, their slick hand passing game, like, it's very hard to defend against. So yeah, I've been really impressed with them this year, Oisin. I think everybody is. They're probably the informed team in the country at the minute.
Yeah. The way you're talking there, I've got a feeling you may be aging towards a Donegal one on Sunday at the Athletic Ground, Sean.
I can't bring myself to say it, Oisin, but you can decide for yourselves.
we'll move on then. We'll move on. Well, let's move into to the realm of hurling. And not alone are Donegal and Armagh set to clash on the football, they're also going to meet in Letterkenny on Saturday in Division 3 of the National Hurling League. Donegal have won both of their games to date. Armagh have lost out in their three fixtures. They've yet to win. They've conceded the most of all the teams in Division 3. And the Armagh hurlers, I think in fairness, Sean, to say that they're really, really struggling this year. There's been a lot of change around there, and this is a game that you would expect Donegal to win and probably comfortably on Saturday. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that's fair, Oisin. Like, there's been a massive turnover of player in the Armagh squad. I know, just in preparation for your call, I was sort of looking up the last time they played. I think they played in the Nicky Rackard Cup game in 2024, and Donegal won by, I think it was 7 points. But from the team that started that day, Armagh only have one player that's likely going to start at the weekend, which is unbelievable. That's the joint captain, Barry Short. Through injuries, through boys going to Australia, boys walking away, boys wanting to play club football, They've just been decimated. Now they do have a few young boys that have come through. Jack Lahren is a debutant this year, and he's their top scorer at the minute. Connor Carabine, another one, a young fella coming in and making a name for himself. But yeah, it's two teams that they, I think Donegal's top and Armagh bottom, and that's probably a fair reflection of this game. Like Donegal, they should be winning this comfortably, especially in Letterkenny on home turf.
Yeah. What about the position that Donegal is in? Just finally, the hurlers, they got relegated to Division 3 last year. Now, they stayed in Christy Ring for next year, which is a huge plus. But if you're prepping for a Christy Ring competition, should you be up a level or two league-wise, Sean?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like a decent league campaign, they beat Kerry, you know, I remember
last year
in the league. And you look at their club level, like Burt, obviously going on and winning Ulster. It's Atlanta. I know St. John's beat them well in the semi-final, but up competing at senior championship level, Donegal, it does seem like it's on the rise. Oisin, obviously you'd have a closer eye on it than I would, but it feels like they're on the rise at club level, county level. Good season last year, and maybe unlucky to get relegated, but like you've seen them, them on Tyrone come down last year, and they were a level above Tyrone in the first round of the league. So I would say they're guaranteed promotion, and not Christy Ring. They're probably going to give it their target net, I would imagine that's their big focus. They know they'll probably comfortably get out of Division 3, and a win this weekend would more or less secure that. And then I would say they're going Christy Ring's their main target for the year.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, Sean Casey of the Sideline Eye podcast and website and the Gaelic Life, we appreciate you joining us on the Score programme this evening. And listen, enjoy the hurling and the football at the weekend. I'll speak to you at the Athletic Grounds on Sunday.
No problem. Thank you, Oisin.
That is Oisin Kelly speaking with Sean Casey of the Sideline Eye and the Gaelic Life. And that National Football League Division 1 fixture between Armagh and Donegal at the Boxed Athletics Grounds in Armagh will take place at 3:45 on Sunday. And as Oisin was saying, Oisin and Brendan Kilcoyne will be live for Highland Radio. There's also another game in Division 1 on Sunday from 1:45. It is Monaghan taking on Mayo. And in the National Football League Division 2, it's Cork taking on Meath. Tyrone have an away fixture against Louth, and it will be Cavan up against Kildare. In Division 3, one interesting game from a Donegal point of view. Declan Bunner takes his Fermanagh team to Mullingar to face Mark McHugh's Westmeath. So a big local interest in that game. Also action on Saturday in the National Football League Division 1, Dublin play Kerry at Croke Park. That one is at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening. And at the same time at Pearce Stadium, Roscommon travel to play Galway. And Derry play on Saturday night in the National Football League Division 2. Derry have played 3-1-2, and their opponents this weekend are Offaly, who have played 3 and lost all 3 games. That game is at 6 o'clock at Celtic Park on Saturday evening. In the hurling, Donegal and Tyrone are both in action this weekend. Donegal play Armagh. Armagh sitting bottom of the pile, played 3, lost 3, while Donegal are top. They've played 2-1-2. Tyrone are away to Fermanagh. And in the National Hurling League on Sunday, Derry are in Trim to face Meath. That one gets underway from 1 o'clock. In the Ladies National Football League Division 2 this coming Sunday at 2 o'clock in Ballyshannon, Maureen O'Donnell will be there for Highland Radio Sport. It will be Donegal, who are top of the pile. They've beaten Tyrone, they've beaten Monaghan, and they've beaten Westmeath. Now the fourth test is against Cavan this coming Sunday. Tyrone are playing Mayo in Division 2 of the National Football League, while Derry play Carlow in Division 4. Highland's dedicated GA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Pádraig Hilferty has been speaking with Highland's match pundit Brendan Kilcoyne, Mayo's John Casey, Ryan Ferry, who's the sports editor of the Donegal News, and Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life. That is on this week's DL Debate, which you can listen back to over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com or on the Radio Player app. Just having a look ahead to what's happening in the local rugby scene this weekend from a Northwest point of view, an Ulster Championship 1 this weekend. Saturday afternoon, Oma, who sit third in Championship 1, they are at home to Randallstown. In Ulster Championship 2, Alec McDonald is going to be at the City of Derry against Grosvenor Clash, while Letterkenny host Academy, and top of the pile, Limavady are away to Larne. And in Ulster Championship 3, Strabane, who are second with a game in hand, they play Civil Service, while Corrine are at home to Bottomside Hollywood. In athletics this weekend, Patsy McGonigal will be at the Ulster Indoor Track and Field Championships. We'll be hearing from Patsy throughout the weekend. That one is on Saturday and Sunday and taking place at the National Indoor Arena in Dublin. And finally, for now, professional boxing will be in Ballybuffet and Stranorda for the first time this weekend, as the Fight Night in the Valley, promoted by Jason Quigley of Shear Sports, of course, will be staged at the Finn Valley Centre on Saturday evening. The sold-out show will have five pro fights plus two exhibition fights. Local boxers Daniel Duffy and Cathal McLaughlin have both withdrawn from the event due to injury, so the card will now be topped by Galway's Jason Myers, who will face Czech boxer Jiří Svacina in a six-round main event. Wexford's David Kennedy, Dublin's Daniel Fakuyidi, Aidan Byrne of Kildare, who has family links with Ballybuffet, and Sligo's Thomas Myers are the Irish fighters on the main card. And in a hotly anticipated exhibition bout, Twin Towns' Kevin Connolly will face fellow Donegal fighter Taylor Park, who boxes out of Rafoe Boxing Club. Well, that's it from me tonight. Jimmy Stafford will be with you just after the 8 o'clock news, so stay tuned for that. If you missed any of the last hour and want to catch up on any of the interviews, you'll be able to find the full episode on the playback section of our website at headingradio.com, and now also over on the Radio Player app. The Score will be back next Thursday from 7 o'clock. But for now, from me, Mark Gallagher, have a great evening. Enjoy the sport of the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.